I'm going to be in Matthew 2 this morning. I want to read to you the first 12 verses of that passage of Scripture. This is the wise men. This is the Christmas story. This is the Yuletide season upon us right now. And it's right, I believe, that we start as a congregation December 1st looking at Christ coming, the Emmanuel, God with us. Will you stand, if you have the Word of God, open to Matthew 2 with me this morning as we read. Matthew 2, starting at verse 1, the gospel says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel."' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Precious Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that, Lord, we too can be like wise men and see the star. We can follow, if we are looking and longing, Lord God, that star. Lord, even Herod believed in the child Christ. Lord, there are many today, our friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors, who believe in Christmas, in the Christ child. But Lord, not many believe in the Son of God who came and died and rose again. Lord, help us to bring glory to you this Christmas season. Let the Christmas spirit, even the Holy Spirit, come alive as we proclaim the King has come. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Matthew proclaims this story of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, coming in a manger. And so much of our society, so many of the people today can embrace a baby in a manger, but they have difficulty embracing Christ upon the cross. And so today I want to challenge you, because without the manger, we don't have a cross. But without the cross, we have no need of the manger for God to be with us. And so the whole reason that God would be born in a manger is so that he could go to the cross and there show his ability to overcome death, hell, and the grave. And this is our hope. This is why we want God with us. And this is why God came to be with us, to reconcile man unto him. So today, I believe this prophecy, actually Matthew is writing the words that Micah had written many years before, centuries before. And he imports that into his gospel. He says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." And he is talking about Christ the King being born on that day. It is a prophecy being proclaimed. And I think this year, we have the opportunity, if we consciously consider for a moment that Christ the King has come, that He lives in us, and that He lives in us so that He can live through us into this nation, into these people around us, then we need to have a prophetic word to proclaim of Christ the King coming in His glory. Can I get a hand clap of praise for the Lord Jesus this morning? You see, this is what He desires. The prophecy is of old, but the prophecy lives within us, new and fresh, every day. And so the prophecy truly is proclaimed, but the prophecy needs to be obtained, not just proclaimed. It needs to be obtained by each and every one. Jesus Christ came to do one work. He did many miracles. He did many things. John writes at the end of his gospel that if all the works that Christ had done had been written down, that all the world could not contain the book that would hold them. There is so much that could be told, but He came to do one thing: seek and save that which is lost. Prophecy must be obtained. Each and every one. God desires that none should be lost, that all would come unto Him. And that's where we start this Yuletide, this Christmas season. The Christmas spirit, the Holy Spirit, needs to bring alive that gift that lies in you, that lies in each and every one of us, that needs to lie in every person alive today. God the Father desires that none should be lost, but that all should come unto His Son, Jesus Christ. And I desire that we would share that prophecy, that it would just not be proclaimed, but it would be obtained by those in whom we share it with. That we have an opportunity. And then, of course, it's not just proclaimed or obtained, but I think it has to be retained. There are some of us today just need to get out of our seat and declare, God lives in me. Christ, the hope of glory, lives in me. Paul told Timothy, and I would tell you, stir up the gift that lies within you, that you might retain the joy of the Lord that first came unto you. David cried out as a psalmist, and he said, return unto me to the joy of my salvation. And we need to have that joy. We sing of Christmas joy and glad tidings, but the only true joy is the joy of the Lord. And it is my strength, and it is what keeps me, and it's what retains me in living for Him each and every moment of each and every day. So Aaron Freelander gets up here and says, we're this Friday and Saturday going to have a night at Bethlehem. Everybody come out. Please help. Chairs are going to be moved today, and we'll start setting up this week. And it's going to be a wonderful transformation come Friday. And it will. She needs volunteers. But it's not just Aaron that needs the volunteers. You need to volunteer so that you can have some joy in your life from serving God and serving others with the joy of God alive in you. But the others need to see that. The ones who come need that as much as Aaron needs that, as much as you need that. They need that. So I'm sitting in a financial institution the other day and talking to the lady, and she's helping me out. And I said, oh, yeah, Friday, Royal Ridge, we're going to do this. She said, really? Tell me about that. So we did. Then she took out a note of paper, and she took out a pen, and she said, what time is that? Can my kids come? I said, oh, yeah, we'll even give them hot chocolate and everything afterwards. And they, oh, really? What time is this again? Why wouldn't we want them to come? Why wouldn't we want to share and proclaim what Christ has done? Why don't we want them to obtain all that He has for them? And why wouldn't I want to retain what He has given me, that joy, and share it with another? The simple fact is we do. We do it in many ways each and every day. But I'm going to ask you this Christmas season, if you want a Christmas spirit, call it the Holy Spirit. Because that's what it is. The only Christmas spirit is the Holy Spirit. And allow Him to stir up within you the gift that God has laid there. It's called salvation, and freely it is given, and freely you can give it. Take that gift of salvation and that joy that it brings and transfer it into the life of a friend, a family member, an acquaintance. The greatest thing you can do for anybody else is share the love of Christ with them. There's many things we could do, but the greatest is sharing the love of Christ with each and every one. It's interesting because Herod knew and believed in Christ. He believed. But he didn't believe fully. And there's many people today who will celebrate Christmas, but they don't celebrate Christ. And so I'm going to challenge you. I want to encourage you to not only receive all that Christ has for you individually, but give that belief to your friends, your relatives, your associates, and your neighbors. We know that to be Fran. Fran is out there and in need of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's look at this prophecy proclaimed. It's the first thing that happens. Micah 5 and 2 actually says this. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." We know that Christ was born in Bethlehem. History records. We know that Bethlehem actually stands for house of bread, and he is the living word of life that we take. When we celebrate communion at the Lord's Supper, we eat of his body in remembrance of him, and Bethlehem is the house of bread. He was born there for us to have and consume, for us to take and partake of, and to be in relationship with. It's interesting because the centuries before this prophecy came about the birth of this king, it brought hope to the people of Israel. They had been subjected to many things in the time frame of this prophecy. They had been carried off into bondage. They had been carried off to Assyria. They had been released from that and let go. They have endured many, many attacks from the Philistines, the Moabites, and people ravaging all of their country. They have endured sickness and disease, plague and famine. They had endured much in the waiting of this prophecy, the hope that they had of a king, a ruler, that would release them from all and bring a blessing. It's interesting. They needed hope then. Abraham in Romans 4 and 18, it talks about his hope. The father of our faith and really the father of Judaism. It was promised to be the father of many nations. Yet Abraham had no son when that promise was made. You will be the father of many nations. Romans 4 and 18 says, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. And if there's been something spoken over your life, and I believe God's word this morning, the Ruach word is going forth this morning to bring life to the word in you. Stir it up, Lord God. The gift that lies within each and every one here, the gift of your holy word that has been spoken over their lives. Stir it up, O God, that the hope might come alive. The only real true hope there is Christ. Christ Jesus come, died, rose again. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? It's interesting because the day in which we live right now, There are wars raging across this world. There are rumors of war if you watch the TV too long, in my opinion. Click it off. Anyways, I don't want to get on a soapbox. Wars, rumors of wars, devastations, famines, people starving, plagues, sickness, disease, Ebola, things like this are rampant in our world. I don't know if you remember the avian flu and the preparations they had made for it. But some years ago, there was a worry that the avian flu was going to overtake and a pandemic hit this world. I don't know what all they tell us is going to happen. But I know, just like Jesus said, in those days when you see these things, then the hour and the day is near. And we see and we hear rumors and rumors of wars. We hear about starvations and we hear about plagues. We hear about things all the time that are happening. Things which are good are called evil, and things that are evil are called good. And these are just like the days of Noah that we're living in. And I say, hallelujah, Lord, for you are so close. If God the Father has already spoken, Son, go. It is time for you to go. I see Christ's hand reaching for the handle of the door, getting ready to enter through that mortal portal of time, down, splitting the eastern sky and coming to us. It is just moments away of Christ coming for his church and redeeming us. I believe that to be so true today. For this is what we live in. This world needs hope. And the prophecy has been proclaimed. It has given hope to so many for so long. Suicide rates, especially during this season, jump and skyrocket in this nation alone. Young people are killing themselves. They are making pacts and killing themselves together in groups in the last few years. Suicide is an evil spirit that takes life. It causes an everlasting separation between loved ones. Debauchery is skyrocketing. Sexual immorality is out of control. It's justified as just being a part of season of love. Christmas. We share in love, so we have too much to drink and we have sex out of control. It's the days of Noah in so many ways. Substance abuse is rationalized just as another common seasonal sensation to be enjoyed. It's okay if I abuse that because 'tis a season to be jolly. And this is the world in which we live in, and this is the thinking and the rationalization for the sin that we endure. And we need to cut that off, not just from our own lives, but we need to plead the proclamation with those who are caught in that. Give them that prophecy. Christ the King was born in a manger some 2,000 years ago, but that boy that was born in that manger rose and grew into a man, and there he caused miracle after miracle, manifestations of his power, his presence, and his glory upon this earth. And he caused all men to repent of their sin and come on to him. Today, will we give that proclamation to these who are dying? Suicide needs to stop. Substance abuse needs to stop. Debauchery and sexual immorality need to stop. And it will and it can, in the name of Jesus, cause a miracle. Holiness is still who we are. And God desires it in our lives. It is a holy Bible. He is a holy God. And he desires for us to lead holy lives with him. So if we have any message this Christmas season, it is a message of hope, of his holiness, leading us into a right relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ, and living everlasting in his glory for all of eternity. It's not about have another drink, share a little Christmas cheer. It's not about taking the credit cards and maxing them out so we're stressed and maxed out. It's not about telling people all the things they shouldn't do, but telling people all the things they can do in Christ. It's about giving them the hope of God. Families are being stressed. Families are being stretched. Families need to be blessed. People need hope. They need to have something to hope for. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And I think about those two words, substance and evidence. And when I think about those two words, I'd be a fool to walk into a court in front of a judge and say, judge, here's my evidence, and there was nothing there of substance. If there was nothing really there, and I said, that's my evidence, the judge would just simply say, well, I guess there's no evidence. And so what is our evidence? What is the substance of our faith? We go like the Israelites, and we look for a perfect lamb. Something without a spot or a blemish. No fault at all, perfect in every way. And the only true perfect lamb is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Sent, sleeping in that manger. That is the substance and the evidence of our faith. When I go to that court in heaven above, the only thing I can present is, this is Jesus, my Savior. He is the Lamb of God. He who without sin was sacrificed for me. I have no right to be here outside of him. Oh, Lord, plead my case. And my hope comes alive because Christ is alive. He is without sin. He is without blemish. And he covers us with his precious blood. So the lamb was slain. And the baby child Christ went to his cross. There is a substance that brings an evidence, that brings a conclusion to that prophetic proclamation. See, prophecy was proclaimed in Micah 5 and by Matthew in the second chapter. But really, it was being declared by the religious leaders of the day to Herod the king, the tetrarch. That's what they were doing. Matthew's just recording a conversation between a king, ruler, and the religious leaders of the day. And the prophecy is being proclaimed in the midst of this conversation. It was spoken by the prophet Micah some hundreds of years before, and it brought hope to the people then, and it was bringing hope to the religious leaders that day. They met secretly with Herod. They didn't want their king slain. I think they had every clue what Herod was up to. I don't think those religious leaders were ignorant at all, and or could they be deceived that easily by Herod. They knew Herod to be a wicked man, an evil man, an unjust ruler. Why is the king summoning us to find out about this prophecy? Because he believes that child was born. Because these wise men just came from the east. And if we just connect the dots, we see religious leaders giving him the proclamation. And they all believed, Herod, the religious leaders, and the people of the day, that Christ was a king. Come to set his people free. They had hope. They longed for a Messiah. They hoped for his coming. And now they saw it as a reality in their lives. The prophecy was proclaimed, but now it could be obtained. Let us look at really how that would happen. Matthew 2 and 11 says, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." It's interesting because most theologians will tell you that the child is now a toddler, probably 2 years old. No longer in the manger out back where the livestock are, but now in the house. And it would have taken the wise men some time to journey from where they most suppose they came from, which is actually modern day Iraq, Persia. And if that be so, coming from the east to Bethlehem, if that be so, their journey would have been a long one. So the child would have grown. We know that Herod had all of the children slain in Bethlehem. All the male children, 2 years and younger, in an attempt to kill the lineage of the king that lives in you today. So most theologians suppose when the wise men came and gave these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, Christ was about 2 years old, maybe a little more. Many things happened here. You see, they needed to not just journey. They believed the prophecy, and they were going to proclaim it. And they heard it proclaimed in front of Herod the Tetrarch, but they wanted to obtain the prophecy. We want something really. We want to see the Christ child. And they kept journeying until they got there. Maybe you today have heard the prophecy and you've heard it proclaimed. Maybe you need to take that step a little further to say, I'll journey a little bit longer to actually obtain Christ into my heart today. Maybe you know someone, a family member, a loved one, a friend, an acquaintance, a co-worker. Maybe they need to obtain Christ today. This is their opportunity. This is the passage that says, you know, there's a little bit more if you go a little bit further. No longer is it out there with the livestock, but it's in the home. I understand a couple of things. I know that Joseph went and knocked on the door of the inn. And everywhere he went, they said, there was no room, there was no room. And finally, one innkeeper said, well, I have no room, but I have this manger out back. Unbeknownst to the innkeeper on that day, he would be the first one to host God in his home. Come on. Unbeknownst to that innkeeper, he was going to host God in his home on that day. What a wonderful thing to do. And when you share the proclamation and somebody obtains it, they are going to host God in the temple of the Holy Ghost, the home he's created. It's a wonderful thing. It's a God thing to go from proclaiming to obtaining. This gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, we know so much, and so much has been said. You know, the three offices of this child, this soon king, who would be anointed and ordained as a king, was also anointed and ordained as a priest, anointed and ordained as a prophet. All three offices were fulfilled and filled by him, prophet, priest, and king. Each one of these gifts speak to one of those offices. The gold is divine, and he is the divine one sitting upon the throne of David. And upon that throne, he shall ever reign. And the gold represents that divinity. The frankincense is really what is burnt upon the altar of incense in the holy place. He fulfills the office of a priest and there makes intercession on our behalf forever, even now in the heavenly tabernacle. He is our priest. He is our king. But he is a prophet. Myrrh speaks prophetically of his office of being a prophet. Myrrh is a burial spice, and it spoke of the day in which he would give his life up for many. It would not be taken from him, but he would willingly lay it down that all who believed in him should have life everlasting, like his resurrection life on that third day. Prophet, priest, and king, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I would just simply ask, have you obtained Micah's prophecy into your life today? This prophecy that Matthew proclaims, have you received it into your life today? Have you received Jesus Christ? Have you made that confession that, yes, I am a sinner? It doesn't matter which one of the Ten Commandments you ask me, I probably violated them all. Well, don't think, well, geez, he murdered somebody. No. Christ said if you looked at another with anger in your heart, you've already. If you lust for another in your heart, you've already. It wasn't hard. I didn't have to learn how to sin. I'm not even sure the first time I did it, but I remember one time. Doug, is that you in the cookie jar? No, Mom! I became a liar just like that. She smoked 4 packs of Winston's. And I'd go into the linen closet underneath the towels and I'd take out from her carton a pack every now and then. I became a thief. I was a liar, a thief, a murderer, an adulterer at heart. And I'm just not sure which commandment I didn't break. But I know this, when I finally said, God, help me, I'm a sinner. I can't live this life like that. Come in and change me. Jesus, become my Lord and Savior, that he did. I believed the prophecy that was proclaimed to me. I obtained that prophecy on that day. I got up off my knees crying and weeping, and I was new. The old man had died. Everything was made new. I had a joy in my heart that surpassed my understanding. Behold, all things were made new. And I retain that newness by walking in Christ each and every day. Have you obtained Micah's prophecy in your life today, in your heart today? Will you allow Jesus Christ to become the prophet, the priest, and the king of your life today? You see, he stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. It's whether we'll open and let him in. So today, I ask that we all, in whatever way we can, open our hearts in a greater way, let him in. Prophecy retained. I'm going to go quickly here. Who will shepherd my people? It wasn't a question, it was a proclamation. Who will shepherd my people? He will. This one born in Bethlehem. He will shepherd my people. But it says in the 12th verse of Matthew 2, it says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Can I have the worship team up here, please? Musicians. You see, they departed another way. It speaks volumes to me. These wise men, these kings from a foreign land, they had journeyed because they believed something. They longed for something more. And then they obtained that something when they went into that toddler's home. Mary, Joe, Jesus hanging out. And they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They worshiped him because they understood he was worthy of the worship. They could have broken those gifts out at any time along that journey, but they saved him for that moment right there because he was worthy of it. Are we ready to be divinely warned? I believe God is speaking this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking. If we're not all that we can be in Christ, then it's just a divine warning. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. God is just saying, hey, come back. Hey, come a little closer. It's interesting because it says they didn't return to Herod and they departed another way. And we just can't go back to where we used to be. As sons and daughters to the King, we have no business living in a life that isn't holy. This Christmas, the Spirit of Christmas wants to fill us with such great glory that we would shine like the star that attracted all men unto Him. Will you stand with me? They were divinely warned and they didn't return to Herod. They didn't return to their old ways. They didn't return back to where they came from. I, when I was born again new, did not go back to the drugs, to the alcohol, to the cussing and swearing. I set a course for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus that He had upon my life. And He has one upon each and every one of us here today. It's interesting because on Facebook of late, I see a meme. I call them memes. Well, that's how you spell it, isn't it? M-E-M-E, memes. It simply says this: God formed us, sin deformed us, the Bible informs us, and Jesus transforms us. Can we just agree with that today? Prophecy proclaimed, prophecy obtained, and prophecy retained in the joy of the Lord and all of His saints. Do you have some joy in your life today? Do you retain the proclamation of that prophecy? Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, alive. He lives in you. He's a Ruach word of God. And He brings life to all who give it. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Your children here today, Lord God, Your sons and Your daughters. Lord, they are warriors of faith. Lord, I pray that prophetic proclamation into their lives. I declare upon them that this Christmastide season, Christ, the hope of glory, would come alive greater than ever before. That there would be a Spirit upon them, the Holy Spirit, that would lead and guide them, Lord God. That we would not return to the old ways. We would not return to an evil, wicked king, Herod, Lord God. But we would go forth a new way. Lord, that we would serve You. That we would serve You and others would look and see the glory of God. The star would shine brightly from each one, Lord God. Lord, that there would be tens and hundreds, thousands of stars lit up by these, Your sons and daughters. Lord, that they would transfer that light, that love of Christ into the hearts of those around them. That they would know You, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. Oh, it's easy to love a child in a manger. But Lord, help us to love a man upon a cross. But let us not stop there, O God. Though You were upon a cross, let us rejoice in the resurrection, that the tomb is empty and our King is alive today. Our King is alive. Hallelujah. Lord, we'll shine that light. We'll proclaim that promise. For Lord, we have obtained something that is richer than we could ever know. It's exceedingly abundantly past all of our understanding, all we could think to ask for. So God, today, for those who have obtained, let us retain, Lord, God, and stir up that gift that lies within us. We have a responsibility to look at ourselves and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your word. For your word is true and it brings life, oh God. I decree upon these, your sons, your daughters, this Christmas, that their lives will be transformed and changed, Lord God, by your holy word. But that they would become change agents for Christ, Lord God. That you would use them as warriors, Lord God, to win the lost to you, Lord Jesus. That they would become soul winners and wise men and women of God. I thank you, Jesus. We give you all honor and glory and praise in your holy name. And as people said, amen, amen.